D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, and Connor Newt here with you. David Jaynes off for a few days. He told me he was headed to Orlando, first to go on a Disney cruise with his family, and then to Disney World. So David Jaynes, confirmed Disney adult. I learned that yesterday.
Did you?
Nothing wrong with that.
Hold on.
Nothing
who sent? What? Which one of y'all sent the trailer?
That was me.
To the
about the poop cruise.
I can't wait to see that. I am looking forward to seeing that, because that had to be, if there was a, that had to be the closest thing to, like, living in you know what, than there ever could be.
Okay, so
a ship that just stops in the middle of the ocean.
So Netflix is dropping a anthology series called Trainwreck: Poop Cruise.
Oh, man.
And at first, I thought this was a sequel to that Amy Schumer movie from a few years ago. Boy, was I mistaken.
Good movie.
according to the Daily Beast, this is episode, it's just one episode, and it's 8-part anthology series that details the most bizarre and outrageous media spectacles of the 21st century. The episode centers on the notorious 2013 voyage of the Carnival Triumph, a 4-day cruise from Galveston, Texas to Cozumel, Mexico, carrying over 4,000 passengers and crew, that quickly spiraled into chaos after an engine room fire triggered a massive electrical failure. Stranded and powerless in the Gulf of Mexico, the ship's passengers faced even more dire conditions as food supplies dwindled and basic amenities like air conditioning and plumbing ceased to function, sparking a revolt among the frustrated travelers.
Gosh. Wow. That had to be miserable. Miserable.
Sounds
awful.
Now
we have a show.
Gosh. Did they not have like lifeboats where you're stranded? It's like, okay, let's get these people off the boat, get them on another boat.
You've seen Titanic. There are only so many extra boats.
No, there's, and nowadays there's enough boats for the people that are actually on the boat. The Titanic, there was enough boats for everyone, but everyone couldn't get on the boat.
So it premieres later this month. So on June 24th, if you want to know where Derek Mason is,
I will be in front of that
television.
He's
watching Poop Cruise.
Yes.
On Netflix. So I'm about to utter a
Why I can't go on cruise. That's why I will not go on cruise.
Yeah,
I just can't, man.
I am not psyched to go on a cruise.
No, me either. Whew.
No. Here is a sentence other than talking about Poop Cruise that I never thought I would utter. Mm-hmm. The Indiana Pacers are must-see television. You cannot turn off the television when the Indiana Pacers are on. And I made that mistake again yesterday. I checked the score of the NBA Finals Game 1 a little bit late. Pacers were down 15 early in the fourth quarter. I'm like, eh, I'm just going to go to bed. Then I woke up and saw that once again, Tyrese Halliburton.
Now, that's your fault. That is all your
fault. It is my fault. I should have known better.
Have you not been paying any attention to this?
I should have known better. But Tyrese Halliburton hits a jumper with 0.3 seconds left, giving the Pacers their first lead of the game. And the Pacers take Game 1 of the NBA Finals, 111-110. Here's just a sample of what the Pacers have done, and this is why I should have known better. On April 29th, Indiana trailed Milwaukee 118-111 with 34.6 seconds left in overtime and won that game. Halliburton scored with 1.4 seconds remaining. Pacers win 119-118. May 6th, Indiana trails Cleveland 119-112 with 48 seconds left and won 120-119 on a Halliburton game winner with 1.1 seconds left. And then most recently, Indiana trailed New York 121-112 with 51.1 seconds left in regulation. Halliburton sent it to overtime on that crazy jumper with no time on the clock. And Indiana won in overtime. So I never thought the Indiana Pacers would be must-see TV. But with Tyrese Halliburton, guy is as clutch as it gets. This postseason, gentlemen, he is 6-for-7 when taking a shot to tie or take the lead in the final seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime. 6-for-7.
He's clutch.
As clutch as it gets.
Yeah, he's clutch. We haven't seen anything like this in a good while. Maybe because we haven't seen guys have to make clutch shots like this to end the game consistently over the last 10 years. But Halliburton has been able to do that. There was a stat, and I sent you guys. It was 0-182. When teams are leading by 9-plus points with 3 minutes left, 3 minutes or less left in a game, when you're down, when you're up 9-plus points, you are not winning a game. And Indiana, once again, because I think, didn't Indiana break another record before when they were up?
Again, when they were down? They were down 9 with 51.1 seconds left in regulation against the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Halliburton hits the jumper that bounces off the back iron. Falls down, does the choke sign because he thought it was a three-pointer. It was a two-pointer.
So now
they go to overtime and win.
Now it's they've won one game, and now it's 1-182 or 183, whatever it is. Indiana has been able to do something that a lot of other teams haven't been able to do, and that is to win these close games each and every time. So when you're going into the series and you're thinking, okay, see, should just run through Indiana, and rightfully so. They did it for three and a half quarters yesterday. But they allowed Indiana to stay close enough, and Indiana got enough shooters. And then they got Halliburton that's capable of making that shot. He's kind of like Robert Horry to me. That's just who he's like, Willie. Like Big Shot Horry.
Big Shot Bob?
Yeah, Big Shot Bob.
I played against Big Shot Bob.
Halliburton has
Alabama.
Been, you know.
I'm sure he remembers me.
Did he hit the big shot over you?
we had our moments against Alabama. Mm-hmm. We beat him a couple times. They were really good, though. But I don't think you remember me.
Okay. But, I mean, Halliburton has been all of that and some. And the only thing that will cap it all off, obviously, is the NBA championship for Indiana. But I asked you guys this question yesterday. Well, today, I think, this morning. And I've been looking for the ratings. I wonder what the ratings are for this game. Because what I thought yesterday about hockey, then I looked at the ratings and they were low. I'm like, you got to be. And that was a hell of a game.
And we'll talk about the Game 1 Stanley Cup final ratings. I, too, am interested in the ratings
because
for
it seems
one.
Like nobody was. And I wonder if anybody is watching because it's Indiana and OKC, two small market teams. Mm-hmm. I wonder if anyone is watching, especially if they started watching, and then by halftime, like you said, it was like, all right, I'm done with this game.
Well, my favorite part of all of this is that back in April, there was an NBA player poll, an anonymous player poll in The Athletic, and Tyrese Halliburton was voted most overrated by his peers. And Halliburton, as I said, has just been outstanding. And if you're looking, look, we've been having this conversation. We had it a little bit yesterday. I know Jared had it yesterday. I think Robbie and Joe had it a little bit this morning about looking for a new face of the NBA. Why not Tyrese Halliburton? Incredible player, clutch player, good personality, as Connor Newt knows, aspiring WWE superstar. He's been involved in the wrestling world a little bit. Why not Tyrese Halliburton? I know that Indiana isn't the most glamorous place for a lot of people, but why not Halliburton? Especially if the Indiana Pacers knock off the Kansas City Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why not Halliburton?
He'll never be the face of the NBA. He doesn't. He's not exciting enough during the season. Now you're seeing a Halliburton in the playoffs, but if you watch Halliburton throughout, he's a damn good player, but he's not. He's not superstar LeBron, KD, Steph. He's not those guys when they were at their prime or they were his age. He's not those guys. He's a hell of a player, but he's not a guy that you would say is the face of the NBA. He would never, even if he wins the championship and wins the MVP, he will never, at least I don't believe, be the face of the NBA because they haven't seen that during the season. If you are the face, you got to be consistent. You have to be dominant during the season and consistent. That's why only few get it.
Legends are made in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, but it's prep during the season. and Halliburton hadn't prepped himself, you know, enough during the season. Now he may as well. He didn't. Another reason he didn't even win Finals MVP for the Eastern Conference. His teammate won it for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Who was it? Siakam?
Siakam. Yeah, Siakam ended up winning it. So unless it's the same thing with Jaylen Brown and what's the other? Why am I forgetting?
Jason Tatum. Yeah,
Jason Tatum. There's been a while where Jason Tatum hasn't been able to be the face because people don't even see him sometimes as the best player on his team. That's why Jason Tatum, he didn't even win MVP, Finals MVP. That's why people look at Jason Tatum like he's a hell of a player, but he will never be the face of the NBA because people still think Jaylen Brown's better than you. Halliburton the same way. They feel they got other players that may be better, have better skills or better talent. But Halliburton is just a solid player that he's able to elevate his game when he needs to or when the time comes for it. But during the season, he's a good player, but he's not like this person that, you know, everybody's looking, these kids are looking to be.
Game two of the NBA Finals is on Sunday. Willie, go ahead.
I would love to point this out at this moment because, first of all, Adam, I'm still stinging. I'm still in disbelief that you did turn the game off after seeing what the Pacers
I know. Again, I made a mistake.
This is good TV. I was watching with my family last night, and I got to give my son credit, Mahoney, who's one of his good freshman buddies at Denison, is from Indianapolis. So he's a diehard Pacers fan. I don't know any other diehard Pacers fan. They're out there.
Larry
Bird, we know maybe. Indiana is basketball. Like, we've all seen the movie Hoosiers, right? They love their team there. It's much more about high school and college basketball, but they support their team. But I just haven't run across many diehard Pacers fans. But he's kind of connected to him. But he said, you watch. Like, they were trying to avoid being knocked out early. Like, the whole game was like, bam, bam. They're just taking jabs. They're trying to hang in there within 8 or 10 points. And he goes, you watch. They're gonna get back in this thing. And sure enough, all of a sudden, at one point late in the third quarter, they got it to 6. Just for a minute.
Yeah.
It went back to 9. And I'm just like, it's getting a little closer. And then as the fourth quarter is going on, you know, you walk up, you go to the bathroom, you get something to drink, come back, like, oh, it's down to 4.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 3. Hey, if they miss a shot here, they're going to have the ball with a chance to tie. But that's what they've been doing. Like, they expect to get back in it. And it's not just Halliburton. The rest of the team is really amazing to watch. Which brings me to this. Think about the Nashville connections at the NBA final.
Ben Shepherd.
Ben Shepherd.
Aaron Nesmith.
So there's Belmont.
And Vanderbilt.
But that's not where it ends.
What else?
Jenny Buschek, assistant coach, Indiana Pacers, from University School of Nashville. Longtime, one of the few female NBA assistant coaches. She's coached in the WNBA as well. Great player at USN. So there's another Nashville connection. And you know who the individual skills coach is for Tyrese Halliburton?
I don't.
Among other NBA players? Drew Hanlon, Belmont University. He has made a living. He was a really good player at Belmont, but he's become a guru for a lot of players. And so these one-on-one moves, you notice the winning shot by Halliburton. That was not pass, come off a screen.
No, he didn't.
He just said, I'll take the ball. They had a timeout.
They had a timeout, right?
Like, back in the day, you might call a timeout if you had a Reggie Miller, right? Reggie Miller was a come-off-the-screen, side out of bounds, and we can all picture it, some of the shots he hit, right? He could be 25 feet out, 30 feet out. He could still hit it. But Halliburton is, you don't need a timeout.
Yeah.
If he has the ball, it's isolate the guy one-on-one. And he said it after the game to Scott Van Pelt. He said, these shots I'm hitting are shots that I have worked on over and over and over. So it's impressive. And the guy behind the guy is Drew Hanlon.
So what you're telling me is that the Pacers are Nashville's team.
Yeah. Technically, yeah. Now we can say Nashville will possibly get a NBA championship.
Yeah. And one other connection from Belmont, our buddy Greg Sage has been doing a good job getting the word out here. Paris Lawson, I don't know if she is there. She is the Thunder's pre- and post-game show host for their regional, for their FanDuel, basically, their broadcast. So A lot of Nashville ties in the NBA Finals.
Absolutely.
More than you think.
And Game 2 of the NBA Finals is on Sunday. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight. And as Derek alluded to, the ratings for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, although it was an exhilarating game, the ratings were not so good. According to Sports Media Watch, Wednesday's Panthers-Oilers NHL Stanley Cup Final Game 1 averaged a 1.2 rating and 2.42 million viewers across TNT and True TV, marking the lowest-rated and least-watched Game 1 of the Cup Final since the COVID-delayed Canadiens Lightning on NBC Sports Network in 2021. Excluding the two COVID-altered seasons, it was the least-watched Game 1 since Penguins-Red Wings on Versus. Remember Versus, everybody? In 2008. O-L-N. Yes, in 2008. So keep in mind that last year, for example, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final between the same two teams was on a Saturday night on ABC, which is different than a Wednesday night on TNT. But as Sports Media Watch notes, while Panthers-Oilers is a rematch of last year's seven-game cup final, it is still a Sun Belt versus Canada matchup. And with every game airing on cable, viewership was a virtual lock to decline from last year's soft levels. Even so, the Game 1 audience may have still come in under expectations, given the storylines, the stars, and the quality of play. And it reminded me, guys, of the conversations we had in the winter about the Four Nations face-off in the great ratings that ESPN got for the Four Nations face-off. And hey, could this lead to more casual viewership of the NHL? It appears that that did not happen. But hockey fans, as you know, Willie, and we are both hockey fans, we suffer from please like my sports syndrome. We want casual sports fans to love hockey.
Right. I'm the same. I get the same way. Remember we had the Ryan Williams quote, by the way. I went on a sports talk show in Alabama. I didn't go to Alabama, but I did a call in for Huntsville, Alabama, and they asked me about the Ryan Williams. And remember that I got into this whole
How could you lose to Vanderbilt?
How did you guys lose to Vanderbilt? You guys must not have been ready to play. How could you come out flat and lose to Vanderbilt? Well, that strikes the chord with any Vanderbilt person, and I think the hockey people have the same chord hit, and I get that same feel. Like, nobody cares about hockey. It's only the people that are in the arena. Yeah, the arena's filled to the gills, and it's the greatest atmosphere ever when you're in there. Like, but I don't think anybody else is watching. Nobody cares. I don't know anybody that loves hockey. You know, there's always those guys, right? And I do think the ABC TNT thing, I point this out with everything, like not to make excuse, but that directly affects the viewership. Anything that's on ESPN and especially ABC network television is going to grab another level of fan. So I don't think there's this all these people who have enjoyed the sport suddenly deciding, I'm not watching. You know, even people, these are the same two teams. If anything, they're more compelled. But the casual fan, the Edmonton, Florida thing definitely doesn't help. The TV markets, when you have a Canadian market in general, especially Edmonton, you lose a huge chunk there, even with a Connor McDavid presence. And then South Florida, you're not going to get a big audience from there.
Bicycle Boy is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Bicycle Boy, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Fellas, nice to speak to you again. I, unlike a lot of hockey fans, probably a lot of sports fans that stop watching playoffs when their team is out, I've watched all the playoffs, was rooting for Florida and Edmonton to show up in the end. Florida, because I love that little ball of hate, Marchand, and the way he plays. But the other night, when the playoffs started last night, or two nights ago, we always text my old seatmates up there in Bridgestone. We text each other during the game. Before the game started, I said, I'm rooting for RV and Ecky. And, man, what a great contribution those two guys had. Really warmed my heart to see them contributing. I don't know how much longer RV's got, but, Willie, Ecky has got to be the most solid, consistent defenseman in the NHL. That guy is just solid. And every now and then he puts one in the back of the net. So I'm rooting for the Oilers, and I'm watching hockey just because I'm a hockey fan.
Thank you for the call, Bicycle Boy.
He hit on a point that's important. That is so many hockey fans, maybe more than other sports, but I think it's going this way in all sports, is they call it provincial. Once your team's out,
you don't watch.
You don't watch all the way to the end. Football has avoided it, right? Football is the best, right, of taking you all the way through. There's less games that you got to follow. But I think it's such a long march to the finish line that there are some fatigued people like, I'm going to start watching my baseball team, or I'm going to get ready for football.
But it's no longer than basketball and baseball.
I know, I know.
So it's like,
I think it's happening in baseball more so than it used to a generation ago, for sure.
And one point, that I think it was an article in The Athletic, which was interesting to me, is that for the first time in a very, very long time, maybe the first time ever, Boston, the Bruins weren't in the postseason. The Penguins weren't in the postseason. The Rangers weren't in the postseason. The Blackhawks weren't in the postseason. Those big, you know, entrenched hockey markets. And how when you look at ratings in the NHL by city, those cities tend to be near the top. And the story I was reading, the analyst was wondering, usually when those cities have their teams in, even when their teams are eliminated, they continue to watch. Perhaps those big markets like Chicago, like Boston, like New York, because their teams weren't in it, maybe never really checked into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Maybe.
I did think that that was an interesting point. Jackson says, who cares about the ratings? I love hockey. I don't give two thoughts to the ratings. Why should that matter at all to me?
There's the other hockey response
that
you get to that.
Right. I get that, Jackson. Again, I say hockey fans, by and large, suffer from please like my sports syndrome, because the ratings are the easiest way to gauge popularity. If people are watching it, it must be popular. If people aren't watching it, it must not be popular.
Because my thing is, you were the only game on television.
Right. It wasn't going head-to-head
NBA
Finals.
NBA. You weren't going head-to-head with a WNBA or NFL or anything else. You were the only sport game on the television, and it baffles me that you have one of the greatest players, and frankly, you got a bunch of great players on ice, and people aren't watching just for the sheer fact that you're getting to watch like some of the greatest play, and you know the series is going to be a good series.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the NBA Finals, your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final, your thoughts on Poop Cruise. We'll take it all. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, a business person with significant Nashville ties has agreed to buy a majority stake in a Major League Baseball team. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight, speaking of baseball, as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20 and the first pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
Reinsdorf has agreed to sell the team to Justin Ishbia. Jerry Reinsdorf has had control of the White Sox since 1981, and he likes being in charge. This is the first signal that he won't be in charge of the White Sox very soon. And I say very soon because this sale is not happening right away. As long as Jerry remains alive, he's 89 years old right now, the earliest this could happen is 2029, so 4 years away. Let's get into who Justin Ishbia is. He's a lot younger. He's 46, in his mid-40s, and he's very rich. Estimated net worth for maybe $5 billion. Made his money in private equity, and he also came from money. His father started United Wholesale Mortgage. He's wanted to buy a sports team. Thought about buying the Twins up in Minnesota, and his brother, Matt Ishbia, owns the Phoenix Suns basketball team. So this is a huge generational shift, a huge change that's coming for the White Sox. Jerry has owned the team or been the controlling owner since 1981, and that's a really long time for somebody to be in charge. Here's what this deal just announced today says about what's going to happen going forward. So really, again, nothing for the next 4 years as long as Jerry stays alive. But then in 2029, Jerry Reinsdorf can opt to sell the team to Justin Ishbia between 2029 and 2033. Then after that, I'm oversimplifying here a little bit, for 2034 on, Jerry would essentially be 100 years old, Justin can just buy the team from Jerry, the controlling ownership.
That was Alex Maragos of NBC Chicago talking about a recent agreement between White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf and Justin Ishbia. Now, Major League Baseball and Nashville have been flirting with each other for quite a long time. They're in that phase where they're liking each other's Instagram posts, but they're not actually speaking. So they know that they're interested in each other, but they're not making a huge deal of it. They're trying to be subtle about it. Although Rob Manfred has mentioned Nashville multiple times when it comes to expansion or relocation in Major League Baseball. So, Willie, like you, Justin Ishbia is a proud Commodore, a member of Vanderbilt's Board of Trust, and a graduate of Vanderbilt Law School. Net worth, according to Forbes, $4.3 billion with a B. So naturally, when a businessman with significant Nashville ties, he's also a minority owner of Nashville SC. So when you think about all of that, people wonder, hey, is this the first step to Major League Baseball finally coming to Nashville?
I think there's a long way to go.
Yes, absolutely.
A long way to go.
You heard what this agreement
right is. And Paul Skrbina, who knows Chicago.
Yes.
He wrote about this in the Tennessean, and I looked at what he wrote there. And if you're wondering if that name Jerry Reinsdorf, if you hear White Sox and you're like, Jerry Reinsdorf, isn't he Bull? Yes. That's the Bulls guy, too.
Yes.
And,
yep.
And if you watched The Last Dance, which we all did because we had nothing else to do, and it was really good, he was front and center. That's the same guy. Like, so this guy is all about Chicago. He's still going at age 89. But I would say this about something that will pop up from time to time every year, and I don't know when the first time we did it. You know, George was on the show yesterday. He and I have been doing this for 30 years. George longer than me. It always comes up. Can Nashville support a baseball team? I thought for a long time it was just an unrealistic question. I think our city has gotten to a point where you have the makings, but they have lacked the guy that has the resources to do it. And that's what's unique about this guy. And he has said zero about, yeah, I'd like to bring a team to Nashville. So it's all speculative.
Yes.
On whether he would actually do this. It looks to me like the old-fashioned, this goes back a long way. Bud Adams did it in Houston.
Yeah.
And they called his bluff. And that's why the Titans are here. But it's a, hey, you know what? My stadium's aging, and we need a new stadium. Well, that's going to be pretty tough because we got to do this, this, and this in our city. I don't know if I want to do it. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the city says, well, you have a pretty decent stadium. There's nothing wrong with your stadium. And the owner says, well, that's all right, but I can move over here to a city that will give me a stadium. And this has happened with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, hey, in Chicago, the White Sox. But if you look at the history of the White Sox, they have flirted
with leaving
more than once before. So I think that's where it's going to go. And if Chicago as a city finds a way to build them a new park, there's no way that the White Sox will leave. I don't think. Baseball wouldn't let them do it.
They would do everything they could
to stop them from doing it.
It would be hard to
look at the Rays and how long it took the A's to get out of Oakland. Like, there was decades before they let that happen. So I think it's not realistic.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to move the White Sox out of Chicago. They've been there, what, since 1901? Around there, 1-1-0-2. They're a fabric of who that city is. You know, I know you have the Cubs, but the White Sox are there too. They've been in the fabric of Chicago. And listen, Ishba, he said, listen, I know an article came out or something like that, but I didn't say it was an or else. I didn't demand that y'all build a new stadium. Now, they understand that the lease is up in 29, so they have to do something. But he said he's not the guy that's saying either y'all do it or we leave. He may not have to say it. But again, in Chicago understands this more than any city out there, because they've had professional teams for the longest. When that team comes into your town, You ought, and things change. Once you let them in, it's kind of like a vampire. Once you let them in, all bets are off. You can't let them in. You can't. The sports teams are like vampires. Once you let them in, they suck the blood out of your city. They bring in new people, but they suck the blood out of your city as much as they possibly can. They give you entertainment. They give you everything else, but they suck the blood out. But you're in bed with them. You know, it could be good. It could be bad. But that's what happens. So I can't see, because he will go down. If he moves that team, he will go down as a villain forever.
Oh, yeah. He will be the art mode. Yeah.
You cannot go back to Chicago, period. And I don't think he wants that.
Yeah, and he's not from Chicago.
Exactly, but still, you don't want to be able to not go to a city.
And Joe Rex Road, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and you will.
Yeah, he's a state
he's
guy.
He's a Michigan State
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, so he'll make the right
choice.
Which
automatically in your book says he must have
person.
Some honor.
Yeah,
right?
He must have some honor to him.
But
yes.
I think the thing that I'm intrigued with is, number one, that this guy is in Vanderbilt's court. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's huge. A guy with the interest in sports who's on the board of trust. These are the kind of people that, from Vanderbilt's perspective, didn't exist on mm-hmm. some past boards where you might have a guy raising his hand and go, yeah, let's get the
it's
athletic
a sports
department
guy
what
on
they
the
need.
Board. Yeah.
I can understand what they need. Let's get it to them. Where in the past, we're like, we don't do that for athletes. Why would a basketball coach need to be paid more than we're paying him? We're paying him good money, good living. And that's not how it works. So I think that is helping Vanderbilt mm-hmm. that he's in the boat. His brother is an owner of the Suns.
And the Mercury.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the Mercury. So I look at it this way. If he has jumped in there to become gradually the owner of the White Sox, that actually probably takes him out, most likely, of the pool of people that could bring a major league team here. Because what you need, like, people might be familiar with the organization, if you want to call it that, the group, the Nashville Stars, that's been trying to fly the flag mm-hmm. for I don't know how many years now.
Yeah, their emails go directly into my spam folder at this point.
Right. They have not been able to build momentum. And the reason why is what? They don't have financial muscle to really do it, mm-hmm. to move the needle politically, to say, oh, we're going to build our own park, you know, something like that. This guy, how do you say, Ishbia. This guy has the resources to start a movement if he wanted to. So I was intrigued by him. Mm-hmm. So he's the guy that has the ability to do it, but the fact that he's going, unless he is secretly, and not telling anybody, trying to angle his way to get the White Sox and bring them out of Chicago, mm-hmm. I just don't think that's going to work. I think it's way, way more likely that in the next however many years, Chicago and the White Sox just figure out how to upgrade their stadium and stay there for mm-hmm. another 100
years. They just did it for the Bears not too long ago.
615
football team.
That is true. 615, and the White Sox are not Chicago's favorite baseball team either.
Absolutely.
615-737-1025. Justin Ishbia, Nashville SC minority owner, proud Vanderbilt graduate, boatload of cash.
Hey, don't leave out to Michigan,
and Michigan State.
Yeah,
and
come
Michigan
on now.
State. I'm sorry.
You, know, you better not.
And I mean, he is close to D. Mason.
Man, come on.
He is Michigan State and Vanderbilt. Is there a better combination out there?
Not that I know
not
of.
Not on this show.
Exactly.
What about American University? Yeah. Does he have a degree from there?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Go Green has a different meaning in this situation. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Justin Ishbia agreeing in principle to eventually buy the Chicago White Sox, a business person with significant Nashville ties. 615-737-1025. Don't miss out on Nashville's best deals. Great offers for 312 Pizza, Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, Central Barbecue, Fog Street Lawn Club, and more. Get them now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Talking Justin Ishbia, billionaire, mm-hmm. Commodore, Spartan. See, I made sure to get it in there this time.
Yeah. Don't
Nashville SC minority owner who is in agreement with Jerry Reinsdorf to eventually take over the Chicago White Sox. And as Willie referenced, our friend Paul Skrbina of the Tennessean wrote a story about this, and he made sure to mention that Jerry Reinsdorf met with our mayor, Freddie O'Connell, during the 2023 winter meetings, which were held at Opryland, prompting speculation that the White Sox might possibly move here. The team has been seeking to build a new stadium, with the possibility of relocation being thrown about if they don't get one. But an O'Connell spokesperson told the Tennessean that the meeting was, quote, introductory in nature. Reinsdorf denied having any intention of leaving Chicago. Quote, I've been reading about how I've been threatening to move to Nashville. That article didn't come from me, but if we have 6 years left, we've got to decide what the future is going to be. We'll get to it, but I never threatened to move out. Doug and Franklin text in mentioning the Tampa Bay Rays. What about a Tampa Bay Rays move after their stadium slash entertainment zone deal collapsed? And the Rays lost their stadium, Tropicana Field, in a hurricane. They are playing, correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, they are playing at the Yankee Spring Training Facility in Tampa, which is across a highway from Raymond James Stadium. But Nashville considered a potential spot for relocation if the Rays had to move on. And that's going, I mean, anytime there is talk of expansion or relocation in baseball, Nashville is going to be on the list. But the introduction of Justin Ishbia, who, as we have said many times, has significant Nashville ties, that adds an interesting wrinkle into all of this.
Sure. You'd love to be able to almost combine the two, right? Because Tampa has been bumbling this for decades, trying to figure out how they get a good ballpark in the right area. That they have missed on both. Like, they had a bad ballpark in not an ideal area. Not that there's anything wrong with St. Petersburg, but to maximize getting the most people to as many games, as many nights as you can, it just is not in the right area. I've been to a game there. It takes a long time to get from Tampa to that game. And a lot of your fan base is in Tampa. It's basically twin cities. St. Petersburg is a pretty big city, but they need both cities to contribute to do it right. So Tampa has been very gettable. But again, with their current situation, who is bringing him to Nashville? Is it Tampa's owner saying, I'll move the team to Nashville? I haven't heard anything like that. Or is it somebody from Nashville saying, I'll buy you guys and bring you here, and we're going to build you a ballpark here? Nothing like that is happening. So Nashville doesn't have the elements that you need to be moving this needle in the direction of eventually getting a team one way or the other.
Adam in Portland is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Adam, thanks for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, Adam, man. Hey, do you remember? All right, so the NHL finals just had game one. Do you remember game one of the 2017 final?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And then, the skate, right? Like, the big deal was the skate. Why are we not, like, this? I think the Predators, I don't know when this happened in my life. Maybe when, like, very shortly after Willie took over announced, and I don't think Willie was the full responsible culprit. But I think I start caring more about the Predators than I do the Titans, to be honest with you. Because they put me in such a foul mood to think that I'm having to listen to ownership, like future baseball ownership talk, instead of game one final talk for the Predators. It just blows my mind, dude. And that's no offense to y'all, but, like, we have nothing right now except that. Like, it's sucks. Like, when I hear y'all,
so you're not a Nashville SC fan, I guess.
Yeah, you don't like SC?
Not at all.
Or sounds
not one bit. Not one bit, dude. I wish I could be, but no, man. I'm just sitting here like, dude, we should be talking about that skate. Like, we should be a good hockey team. That
right.
Just pissed me off.
Sidney Crosby throwing the water bottle.
We hear you,
unfortunately,
Adam.
We understand. I'm sure, Adam.
I'm not over that skate because it was such a bogus call. I'll just drive around and think about that skate. I'm like, what did they see?
It's been more than 8 years, Adam. Yeah, I love your passion, but you might need to move on, buddy.
You got to let it go, Adam.
Thanks for the call, Adam.
We ain't letting it go, bro. That changes the whole series, man. I'm telling you.
Adam, we have a suggestion for you. Peter Laviolette right now he's between jobs, so he might have some free time. If you can get a hold of Peter Laviolette, he will side with you on this argument because we watched it. I watched it in real time. His protest, not only during the game, but after the game.
Yes.
It was quite spicy. Quite spicy.
Well, I mean, listen, Adam, you're just like Titans fans. They came up 1 yard short, and y'all came up a skate short. So there we go. We all can argue.
A shadow of a skate.
Exactly.
The other question about the whole baseball thing is, where would the park go, right? That's the other important part.
And this is what I wanted to say.
Because it's not going downtown.
Yeah. I want to know, this is what I would really like to know from our listeners, because we've been talking about this, and obviously it's up in the forefront because, you know, a guy with ties to Nashville, Vanderbilt, Michigan State, great, he's going to be majority owner of the White Sox. And now all of a sudden there's ties. We're bringing a team to Nashville. Yes, he may be looking at that toward the end, but I think more than likely he wants to keep the team in Chicago if he can do that. But I want to know from fans, like Nashville people, sports fans, period, do you really want a baseball team in the city? Because here's the reason. Here's the reason why I ask, because it's like, yeah, we want a baseball team. But you know everything that comes with having a baseball team? Y'all argued and bickered about giving the football team more money to build a stadium. You argued about the soccer team, and then that finally got taken care of. You know when they bring a baseball team in here, it's going to be the same thing. And Nashville proper isn't that big. Adam just said, where are you going to put the team? I'm sure you would probably find a place.
It's probably not going in Davidson County.
Yeah, so my thing is, Nashville residents, do y'all really want a baseball team? Or is it just like the cool thing to have with growing city? But you know, I said it before. I've said this. Sports teams are like vampires. When they come in here, when you let them in, they ain't leaving. And they will suck the blood out as much as they possibly can. So when you hear things, do y'all really want a team? Like, think about it. Do you really want a team, another sports team in the city?
Well, at first I want to read a text from Brian, then I want to ask Willie a question. Brian says, where would they build a stadium? The transportation infrastructure here is trash. Getting downtown for a Preds game is just brutal. You can't even stay for an entire Nashville SC game or you're trapped at Geodis Park. But
I have seen the traps.
Mm-hmm. So
at Geodis Park.
I have not been to I have not been to Truist Park, the new home, the newish home of the Atlanta Braves. It is not in Atlanta, correct? No. It's in Marietta, Georgia, which is outside of Atlanta.
Yeah, it is north of Atlanta, which is, if you're a Braves fan that likes to drive down to some games, it shortens your drive by, like, depending on traffic, probably 45 minutes to an hour, because you used to have to drive all the way through the heart of the city to the other side to get to where Fulton County Stadium was, which is, I am old enough to have gone there, and then Turner Field after the 96 Olympics. But yeah, their idea was, let's get out of the city. They built, they call it the Battery, a huge array of shopping and bars and restaurants and places to hang where even if you're not going to the game, you can go there. They don't have public transportation to get there, but it's worked. But Atlanta's pretty unique. I still think that the ideal thing for Nashville would be to have it somewhere adjacent to downtown. But I agree wholeheartedly with the transportation system. That would be a problem.
My question was, what would be the geographic equivalent of Marietta to Atlanta Nashville?
To me, there's not an obvious one.
Is it Hendersonville somewhere? If you're going north, what would it be like?
Or would you go to Murfreesboro?
Or if you're going south, you go
Or do you want to get into, quote, the money, right? Mm-hmm. Williamson County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think Williamson County has any... I've not seen any momentum there. Like,
to try to put the team
out
there.
I don't think they want it.
Yeah, they probably don't want it.
Like, I think from a... You know, fan base and a money standpoint, they could, and a space standpoint, they could probably find.
But they don't want to help fund the team,
right? That's I don't think they want to mess with what they got.
Exactly.
Yeah. Quickly, let's go to Larry on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Larry, thank you for calling. Please go ahead. Larry.
I've been saying for about 10 years, the Rivergate Mall area north of Nashville. You're closer to the Bowling Green, Clarksville, Kentucky area. I think that would be the ideal location for a new baseball park.
Yeah, that corner,
thank you, Larry,
where the mall is at. I mean, the mall is desolate, isn't it? I mean, there may be a couple of stores out there.
I believe that there is.
Is it a church out there or something?
I believe there are plans to redevelop the Rivergate Mall area. I've recently read that. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to build.
So they already have something planned for that. Okay.
It's a traffic mess right now.
Yeah, it is.
Brutal.
Yes, it is. Quickly, let's go to Bill on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bill, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I think the number of people in Davidson County that really want the baseball team is very small. And the number of people in the outlying counties, the resistance is going to be monumental for folks coming in to try to build a baseball stadium out there. Remember, many of the people who live in the outlying counties have fled Davidson County to start mm-hmm. with because of all of this stuff. So I think that the people planning baseball are going to have a big uphill battle.
Thanks for the call.
You're right. Because if you go out to there, if you put a team out there, what happens? Everything goes up. Property taxes goes yep. up. Everything else. They don't want that. You know, so again, when you say I want a professional team, you got to know what all comes with a professional team, fan. I mean, the politicians, they know. But as a citizen, as a resident of Davis, you got to know everything that comes with this.
Right. There are going to be things that are unpleasant mm-hmm. for people that aren't baseball people. But I will say this. I love, like, when you drive through it, like, I've been yo-yoing up and down mm-hmm. between here and Ohio. I know the route very well, by the way, between Nashville to Louisville to Cincinnati to Columbus and then on up to Cleveland. Like, and you pass through, like, yeah. Cincinnati is a town that's somewhat the same size as Nashville, right? It's comparable.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the big football stadium right as you come in, right next to the baseball stadium. And then they got their arena, and then they've got their soccer stadium. Mm-hmm. So they got all that stuff. You know, they don't have hockey or basketball, so they don't have a main tenant in their arena. But it's pretty cool when you've got the stadium right there and people are walking in and out of the ballpark and spilling into downtown. It works so much better, I think, when you're attached to downtown as opposed to out in...
I mean, Bridgestone Arena is the perfect example, right?
And that's why it attracts so many great events. Yeah. People want to be there because of the fact that you go to your event, you stumble outside, and you got all of this stuff within walking distance at your leisure.
615-737-1025. We have a lot of reaction to this. So we will get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. 1025-1063. The game.